From WBUR Boston, I'm Wade Goodwin, in for Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. Senior hunger, hunger among the elderly, is a growing problem in America. A recent study found that 1 in 7 seniors in our country are threatened by hunger. That's a big number, and it's getting bigger. It's not the face of hunger that most Americans think of, but it may be in the future for many of us, and not just for the poor. What's going on here? This hour, On Point, the hidden elderly hungry. You can join the conversation. Are you a senior uncertain of where your next meal might come from? Do you have elderly relatives you're worried about? You can comment at our website, onpointradio.org, or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Joining me now from Washington is Enid Borden, outgoing president and CEO of the Meals on Wheels Association of America, incoming president of the National Foundation to End Senior Hunger. Enid Borden, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much, Wade. I'm delighted to be here.
Enid, when I think about the elderly, I know I worry that they're lonely and isolated, that nobody comes to visit them regularly or cares about them. But I guess I don't usually think about them being hungry. I'm wrong not to worry about that, aren't I?
Yeah, you are. I think one of the things that we talk about lately about hunger is, who is hungry? And what we found is, what is so astounding is that so many of those people who are hungry are, in fact, seniors. I call them the hidden hungry. They're the people who raised us and fought the wars and tilled the soil. And yet all of a sudden, at some point in time, things change for them. And they are, in fact, in this, the land of abundance, going hungry.
Well, at what point in time did it change? How did this start to happen?
I suppose it's been going on for a long time. I think the difference now is that we are beginning to start the conversation. We need to talk about it. It has been common for us, particularly during times of recession, to talk about those people going to food banks and those people going to soup kitchens and food pantries. What has not been common is the fact that there are others who don't get out of the house, who live behind those closed doors, who too suffer from hunger. And so while I think the problem has been going on for a while, it's been exacerbated by a very down economy and by the demographics. We are a population that is aging. And when we age, we become much more frail and we become somewhat hidden. And so the problem, while it has been there, has been hidden. And what we're trying to do is to start the dialogue, start the conversation with Americans that there are those people amongst us who are older and who are hungry, but there are solutions. There's something we can do about it.
Now, I think my first realization about hunger among the elderly probably came about 30 years ago, and I can't remember if we were in the middle of a recession, but there was a story about this woman who ate cat food because it was cheaper and it was better than dog food. She thought it tastes better, and if she could get the cat food, then she could afford her medications. And I remember being shocked by that cat food story. Do you remember the story I'm talking about?
You know, I absolutely do remember that story, and it is not unheard of. And by the way, it probably happens today. There is no question that this is a situation that has been going on for a long time. The problem now is, in many respects, when we're talking about 8.3 million seniors, this probably should be termed an epidemic. This is just not right. And there's something that we have to do about it. And the first thing we have to do about it is to talk about it. We can't hide any longer the fact that in this country, people are going hungry.
Well, we have an effective way to get at hungry children in America. We feed them breakfast and lunch at school. But no such avenue exists for seniors. So without that kind of institutional answer, what do we do?
Wade, I'm glad you brought that up because you're absolutely right. I mean, there are programs for youngsters and there are programs for children. You're exactly right. The one program that's out there that is for seniors is in fact, the Meals on Wheels program. The problem with that is it's not enough. When we look at the numbers, and we look at the numbers throughout the years, in 2005, we had 5 million seniors who faced the threat of hunger. In 2007, there were 6 million. And now by 2010, we're talking about 8.3 million. So while the Meals on Wheels programs are extremely effective, and I adore those programs, They are great grassroots programs. The problem is it's not exactly the be-all and end-all. It's not the answer, not the only answer. And so what we're trying to do at our National Foundation to End Senior Hunger is to look at all the different answers that are out there. We're trying to look at some of the solutions. Right now, when we look at Meals on Wheels, is it, in fact, a Band-Aid for the disease that is hunger? And if it is the Band-Aid, we've got to do much better than that. The infection is spreading, and we've got to figure out what the cure is.
Well, I would have thought that as you get older, your chances of being hungry increase, that your 80s and 90s are the worst. But as I was doing research, I discovered that age 60 to 64 is the most at risk, which shocked me. I would think these are people who could still be employed. What's going on here?
Well, in fact, Wade, that shocked us, too. We always figured, well, of course, we know who's going to be hungry. It's that older cohort, the 80 to 85. But, in fact, you're exactly right. It's the 60 to 64. And what is astounding about that is that every 7 seconds in this country, someone is turning 60. So the potential there is huge. What is going on? That's a good question. That's one of the things that we're going to study. We know what's going on with the economy. We know that it's very difficult to find a job, much less if you're older looking for a job. And so all of these things seem to be accumulating, and the problem is that the problem is exacerbating. We know where the issues are. We know exactly what parts of the country are having more problems than others. Now we've got to figure out, all right, we know what the problems are, at least we know many of the problems. Now we have to start looking at real solutions so that we can have sustainable solutions so that, this doesn't continue to be part of our national fabric. It is no longer acceptable to say, well, yes, there is hunger in America, now on to the next thing. It is no longer acceptable, and there's something we have to do about it. And the first thing is raise the awareness of people out there that, in fact, hunger exists.
Let's bring another voice into the conversation from Lexington, Kentucky, James Ziliak. He's the founding director of the Center for Poverty Research at the University of Kentucky and the co-author of a big new report on the state of senior hunger in America. James Ziliak, welcome back to On Point.
Thank you, Wade. Pleasure to be here.
Well, you've heard kind of what we've been talking about. I guess here's a very frightening statistic that I'll throw out there. 60% of Americans have less than $25,000 saved for retirement. That's rather sobering.
It is sobering. The Social Security Administration estimates about 1 in 5 seniors on Social Security are solely dependent on that Social Security income, so they have no savings when they enter retirement that's private. And so there are a large swath of Americans who are entering retirement unprepared.
You know, what has your research found about the face of this epidemic?
Well, I think one of the shocking things, and you and Ed talked about the age factor earlier, is the fact that the portrait of senior hunger is not necessarily a portrait of poverty. In fact, the majority of seniors facing the threat of hunger are actually above the poverty line. So income's not the sole reason that these seniors are vulnerable in meeting their food needs. It could be concern and worry about having enough resources to cover out-of-pocket medical spending for prescriptions, for example, or just a more catastrophic type of medical emergency. And so one of the shocking aspects of our research is that poverty, while it's an important predictor of the threat of hunger, is certainly not the sole reason. Other factors such as social isolation, lack of assets, all weigh in to help us understand who's at risk.
There are already a lot of callers calling in. Let's go to our first, Joan from Wellesley, Massachusetts. Joan, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm calling because I am 60 years old. I am physically disabled, and I live on Social Security. But I do not go without food. What I do go without is having the optimal diet that I would like. In particular, I no longer can afford fruits and vegetables all month long. I just cannot do it with my other expenses.
So tell us what kinds of things do you eat?
I eat yogurt, cottage cheese, some canned fruit. let's see. Maybe I make some breakfast foods. I eat a lot of. I don't eat processed foods, so I would eat, you know, more like peanut butter.
Do you have to take food from a food pantry, or are you able to pay for it yourself?
No, I have food stamps, and I use the food pantry.
Joan, thanks so much. Enid, does this look like something you're familiar with?
Oh, there's no question about it. You know, one of the things that we need to do is we need to talk to people about diets and how do we find the kinds of foods to keep them off of the Meals on Wheels programs, for example. And Joan's problem is not uncommon, unfortunately. And I think that as the economy continues its downward spiral, we're going to see more and more of this. And that's one of the things we have to explore. Joan mentioned food stamps, of course, as we now notice, SNAP benefits. And that's one of the things that we really need to talk about. In fact, Jim Ziliak and I have had lengthy conversations about the notion of the food stamps with respect to senior citizens. Most people who are on food stamps are not seniors because it's a program that's very difficult for seniors to access. And that's one of the things that Jim and I actually are going to explore when we look at solutions to finding ways to make sure that people are not going hungry. We need to look at what's the best thing in terms of food stamps for that senior population.
This is On Point. I'm Wade Goodwin in for Tom Ashbrook. We're talking about senior hunger in America. We're joined this hour by Enid Borden, incoming president of the National Foundation to End Senior Hunger, and also by James Ziliak, founding director of the Center for Poverty Research at the University of Kentucky. To use a cliche, the switchboard is lighting up. And I'd like to take some calls. Dave from San Francisco. Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hey, I'm right here in San Francisco across the country. I'm 74, living on Social Security in San Francisco, which is a difficult task. I get through. In fact, I'm hungry right now. And I get through. In fact, I'm waiting for the senior lunch program, with their cutbacks being what they are, has gotten to be thinner and thinner and thinner, I'm afraid. And I want to say, on the other side, an anarchist group called Food Not Bombs, where I help cook and serve. I'll be doing that today as well. And without that, I'd be even hungrier than I am. And as you pointed out, the economy being what is, the possibility of a new president, you know what I'm talking about, and cutbacks. I agree. We're facing a grievous, critical situation, and I'm glad your guests are on it. Hey, Wade.
James, Dave is worried about further cutbacks in federal aid.
I think this is a legitimate worry. I mean, right now, the House voted recently to cut $16 billion from the food stamp or SNAP program over the next decade. The Senate passed a bill that would cut about $4.5 billion. And so our primary food assistance program is under threat currently in the Congress. There's also concerns about funding for the Meals on Wheels program through the Older Americans Act. So this is a serious issue facing the nation. Dave highlighted an interesting issue, which is, you know, many of our seniors are actually finding assistance through the Emergency Food Bank program. So Feeding America, the largest one in the country, claims to serve about 3 million seniors a year. And perhaps a surprising fact is that over 56% of seniors in their Hunger of America survey who visit a pantry actually visit monthly. And so this is a repeat occurrence for this demographic group. And as Enid highlighted earlier, there's a large segment of the senior population that aren't mobile enough to actually receive that type of assistance. And the SNAP program, of course, requires in most states people to go visit a welfare office in order to apply for benefits. And therefore, only about one-third of seniors who are eligible for the SNAP program actually sign up for the program.
From San Francisco, California, to Brattleboro, Vermont, Wendy, please welcome to the program.
Hi, Wade. your program came on just as I was looking in my refrigerator wondering what I'm going to eat tomorrow night because I have no food for dinner for tomorrow night. I'm in a position as a disabled senior watching food prices go up and eliminating more and more and more each time I go food shopping. Buying meat, for example, now is almost impossible. I have to choose things like beans and rice repeatedly, and my illness is such that I really shouldn't be eating a lot of carbohydrates. I'm terrified, like the rest of us, about what's going to happen when the food crisis hits because of the droughts, hearing about the cuts in food stamps, and I think it's obscene that this country spends the money it does on war and lets the seniors and disabled and veterans fall through the cracks the way we are. I just don't know where this is going to end, but it's quite terrifying.
Enid, Wendy is worried about rising food prices. We have a drought in the Middle East, and she has an empty refrigerator.
I know, and I'm worried about it, too, and I'm worried for Wendy, and I'm worried for all the Wendys out there. And, you know, Wade, when we look at the kinds of people we're talking about, it sort of breaks down into two different segments. One are those seniors who actually have the capacity to be able to get out of their homes, and as Jim was talking about, to go to the welfare office and perhaps sign up for food stamps or go to the food pantry.
Well, I'm from Texas, and in Texas we have made it increasingly difficult to receive state and federal assistance. And the way that we've done that is by making those who need assistance jump through ever more difficult hoops. I think, you know, maybe the thought behind this is that we've got the lazy poor, and if we make it more difficult to them, maybe they'll actually go out and find a job rather than be on assistance programs.
I know, and that is outrageous. There is no question about that. You know, for years we've talked about the guzzling geezers, those of us who are 60 and years of age and older, and I'm one of them. I'm not a guzzling geezer. But the other point that I wanted to make about seniors is that there's two, those who are lucky enough to be able to get out, and perhaps they're getting out to find nothing, but then there are those who cannot even get out of the homes. They're the ones that Jim was talking about who are lucky enough to be receiving Meals on Wheels. And those programs, too, face the threat of cuts. So we are really at a situation right now, I think we're at the break point. What do we do? How do we do it? But one of the things that I'm positive about is that we need to work together to figure it all out. I think that if, in fact, we find in America today those who are working in the anti-hunger space, that we sort of silo it. We have those who work for children and those who work for families and those who work for seniors. What we ought to be doing is all sitting down and talking together. Because anybody who's hungry, no matter what age they are, is a travesty. And it is a black mark on our country. We have all got to work together to figure it out. There are going to be cuts. There are more cuts coming. What do we do together as a nation to say we're sick and tired of this and we're not going to take it anymore?
We've talked about how 60 to 65 is the most vulnerable elderly population, surprisingly so, and the phone banks are lit up with people age 60 to 64, like Donna from Brighton, Massachusetts. Donna, hello.
Hi, Wade. Thank you. Mine is just two-part. My mother passed away a year ago at age 90, but towards the end, just as your guest said, she had slight memory loss, so she could no longer drive, so she couldn't get to the store, and even if she could have fresh food to prepare, it was tiring to be on her feet to prepare it, cleaning up. You have to plan ahead. If you have any kind of memory compromise, then that's a problem. We tried Meals on Wheels. This was another state that she was living in, and it just wasn't adequate. They were more chicken, and white bread, and I know they vary from community to community, but I even tried paying a part-time health aide to come in to help her with nutrition, and it just wasn't enough. I was working full-time trying to go up and cook on the weekends to help her, and nutrition means good health. If you compromise your health, then you start having to be on more medications, and some medications limit the foods that you can eat, you know, the nutritious foods like leafy greens. A friend of mine is taking a heart medication, and there are certain foods she can eat that I think are some of the more nutritious foods. I called all around the state she was in to get delivery of meals, and it was almost impossible. And the other thing I just wanted to quickly add is I'm 62, was laid off 3 years ago, and I'm living off of my savings, which isn't going to last forever. And it was, you know, money that I'd hoped to to supplement my Social Security with, and I won't have that if I go through it. So it's just we need more options. We need more in-home help.
Thank you, Donna. Donna has gone from worrying about her mother to worrying about herself. Let's take another caller, Dave from Midway, Kentucky. Dave, welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hello.
Well, I'd like to point out one thing that didn't get discussed. When you're discussing the 60 to 64 age group, with the employment situation that has been going on for a long time for people that get over 50 or 55, 60, and get laid off, they tend to have to use up their savings and assets. They can't get a job that pays as much, or they can't get a job. And so by the time they fall into Social Security and Medicare, they've used up everything. And there's that period, particularly between 60 and 64, where you kind of are falling in the cracks. And I worked a long time and paid into very steady and paid into Social Security, but never made a lot of money. And of course, the 401ks, they got destroyed by the Wall Street guys. They got all extracted out with the stock market going down and crashing. So that's a vulnerable group.
Yes.
It's going to get more so. The other thing is, in the age group that living in poverty, I live on $8.22 a month. And this month I'll have $1.54 after I budget everything out. But I do have a roof over my head, and I do have food. But I've had to learn how to cook for one, how to cook at low price, you know, how to buy foods in bulk. But that's kind of hard because a lot of times the potatoes rot and stuff like that.
You bet. Dave, thank you very much. I'd like to bring in another voice, Seth Hancock. He joins us from Los Angeles. He's a filmmaker, and he's been traveling around the country making this film, Leftovers, which focuses on senior hunger. Seth, thanks for joining us.
Hi, Wade.
Tell us a little bit about your movie and your experiences in making it.
It's been interesting listening to everybody talk because I have the unique perspective of being in the younger population that never really thought about what getting older is going to be like in America, because we live in a world that really promotes youth and beauty, and we have a tendency to kind of push our seniors aside. And so as I started traveling the country, I started having this tremendously eye-opening experience as to what my life and life for others could be like down the road if we don't fix this problem that we're having right now of senior hunger. And it's been an amazing journey going from coast to coast, top to bottom, in some places in the Midwest, meeting seniors, meeting the great people who are working in the organizations trying to feed them, and the struggles that everyone, including, you know, the seniors and the people who are trying to feed them, are encountering.
Is it worse in some places in the country than others? What have you found?
You know what I found, Wade, was quite interesting, is that it is worse in some places than others, but one of the places I went was Marin County, California, which is one of the most which is one of the wealthiest counties in America. And while I was there, I had this kind of epiphany. I said, well, if this is happening in one of the wealthiest, what's happening in the poorest? And I went there, and while there are certainly socioeconomic issues and education issues that are differences between those two counties, I found the exact same issues in one of the wealthiest counties in America and in the poorest county in America. And that issue is that it's everything that we've heard so far. People are using their savings. They're spending more money on meds and healthcare. And at the end of the month, they have nothing left over for food. And it's become a universal United States problem, not just a problem that's like specifically here in Owsley County, Kentucky, or in Austin, Texas, or in Orlando, Florida, or Detroit, Michigan, for that matter.
Is it worse in the South than the Midwest, or what did you find?
I didn't really, you know, worse, I think maybe just because of some of the places that are far away from the cities, but in terms of really worse, I think the biggest issue is that the seniors are experiencing the exact same problem. So I really don't want to say it's worse, because I don't want to point out one particular area is worse than others. I think that what I saw was seniors, no matter where we were in America, were experiencing the exact same problems.
Enid, you know, Meals on Wheels, bringing meals to seniors in their homes has been a wonderful program that has done so much. But there's got to be more solutions than just expanding Meals on Wheels.
That's exactly right, Wade. I think that it is a great program, and I'm. It's unfortunate when the your prior caller said something about the Meals on Wheels program. You know, those meals meet guidelines, the dietary guidelines imposed by the federal government, and they're bringing really more than just a meal to a senior. They're actually bringing some compassion, which, by the way, is something that is desperately needed too. And they're good meals, they're healthy meals, and they need those meals. But it's interesting that, as I said at the beginning, the problem has not gone away. In fact, the problem's gotten worse. The numbers have exacerbated. And so Meals on Wheels is one part of the solution, but it's not the only part of that solution. And that's what we need to do. We need to explore all the different options that are out there. And in fact, if there is something that is lacking, if there's something that is missing, we need to find the solutions. We can no longer get by putting Band-Aids on problems. That will not stanch the bleeding. It will temporarily, but not in the long run. We've got to figure out sustainable solutions so that no senior goes hungry. And I think we can do it. I'm glad that Seth is on, because Seth and I had some good conversations about the film, and we were partners with him in that film. And it's important for us to show the face of those seniors who are out there who are going hungry, because those faces will surprise everybody. There, but for the grace of God, go you and I. The face of senior hunger is no further than looking in the mirror, because we do not know when the next one amongst us will be hungry. And in fact, it's probably more of a reality now than it's ever been.
James, 27% of Americans have less than $1,000 in their savings account. These are the people who are next in line to be hungry. I know they'll think, well, I know I've got a plan. I'm going to wait till retire until I'm 70 or even 75. I don't mind. I like to work. What's wrong with this plan?
Well, there's several problems with that plan. One is, and this has been brought up by a couple of the callers already, is that food insecurity and the threat of hunger ages our seniors. So our research shows that on average, a senior who's under the threat of hunger has activities of daily living. So by this, I mean the ability to cook, clean, wash themselves, and so on and so forth, things that you and I take for granted who are healthy. It ages them on average about 14 years. And so going into retirement or planning, say, in your mid-50s with $1,000, is going to be a problem, because once you hit that hole of the 60 to 64 age group, you may be eligible for Social Security at age 62, but Medicare doesn't kick in till 65. And this is, I think, one of the big challenges, is that more and more Americans are experiencing disability, and some of which is officially diagnosed, some of which is not. And those who aren't receiving formal disability insurance from the government are falling through the health insurance cracks that currently exist in the system. Some of that might be resolved with the Affordable Care Act once it goes into place in 2014. But in the meantime, we have some great challenges facing this cohort entering retirement.
This is On Point. I'm Wade Goodwin, in for Tom Ashbrook. We're talking this hour about senior hunger in America. We're joined this hour by Enid Borden, incoming president of the National Foundation to End Senior Hunger, also by James Ziliak, founding director of the Center for Poverty Research at the University of Kentucky, and Seth Hancock, a filmmaker. His upcoming documentary, Leftovers, explores the topic of senior hunger in America. Seth, I understand you had some interesting experiences in Texas.
I did. You know, you guys were talking earlier about how we make it difficult for seniors to be able to take advantage of some of the programs that are out there, like the SNAP benefits, formerly, you know, known as food stamps. And while we were there, we worked with a great organization called the Capital Area Food Bank, and we had learned from them that they try to provide as much food as they can to seniors as well as anyone going hungry. But they sat down and they showed me the application for SNAP benefits in Texas, and it's 18 pages long. I want to contrast that with the one-page application for a gun permit. Now, I'm not going to get into, you know, where I stand with gun permits and all this stuff, because I think it's important that people, you know, obviously we utilize our rights, but I'm using that as an example to show how one page versus 18 pages. And a lot of times you make it very difficult for seniors to fill out these 18 pages when in fact a lot of the benefits they get and maybe between $16 and $35 a month in additional benefits. So the cost benefit analysis for seniors to fill out these 18 pages is somewhat of a thwarting effect to say, I don't want to do this.
Seth, I know that in addition to seniors, you talk to young people in the making of your film. What did you find there?
A lot of people had absolutely no idea or no clue as to what's going on. But what shocked me more than anything were the attitudes towards seniors. You know, when I brought up what's the first thing that comes to mind when I say senior citizens, and, you know, some responses were like, you know, well, they're just old people, or, well, you know, they're old people and they get great, you know, benefits on bus tickets, and then there's death. It was really eye-opening to see how many people were, like me, don't really think about getting old in America, don't think about what it's going to be like to be a senior, aren't planning for what life is going to be like. They think that, you know, all things will just work out and I'll be taken care of, or Social Security will be around. But as we're seeing, this is becoming more and more of an issue. So I think this is one of the reasons why this film needs to, had to get made and needs to be seen, so that people can look and say, oh my gosh, there's a very good chance that this could be me 20, 30, 40 years from now.
Dismissive young people. Let's talk a little bit about stubborn old people. I mean, it's not just the federal government or the culture that is responsible for elderly ending up in difficult positions. They can aid and abet their own misery. Isn't that right, Enid?
Well, yes, obviously some people can do that. One of the other things that we need to talk about is to begin the conversation a lot earlier, and that is about healthy eating while you're younger. We have found 84% of the health care costs in this country are for chronic diseases such as obesity. And one of the interesting things that we have found in the about senior hunger is that many of those seniors who are, in fact, hungry are obese. And it seems counterintuitive that they would be hungry and yet they would be obese, but they are. If we could begin the conversation about eating healthier at a younger age, we might not end up in the position we are with many of these seniors. I mean, there's no question, there's blame to be placed everywhere. But what we don't ever want to do is to talk about blaming people as opposed to helping them. Our job, our concerted effort, in fact, our moral obligation is to ensure that this doesn't happen. This epidemic of hunger in this country must cease and desist. And I think that when you look at Seth's film, and I hope it's out there soon because it really is eye-opening, you realize that so many younger people in this country actually are beginning the process very early of ageism. They don't really care about getting old. They don't think it's going to happen to them, much less being hungry when they're old. And so we have to begin having this conversation about what it does mean to be old and what it in fact means to have bad nutrition. Bad nutrition will equal perhaps obesity and then perhaps hunger later in life.
James, what do we do about the elderly who want to stay in their homes but whose perceptions of themselves and their own abilities are not as clear as they once were?
Well, that's a great question, and it's certainly a major challenge going forward because, as we all know, America's aging, and so there's going to be more and more of us who are trying to do exactly that. I mean, at this point in time, you know, the major mechanism that out there for seniors who are facing this food need is the Meals on Wheels program, and there is a little known secret that you can actually use your SNAP or food stamp benefits to purchase your meals from Meals on Wheels, but not many seniors actually do that. And again, in part because the SNAP program has not been as effective as it could be in reaching out to older Americans. And so I think, you know, clearly one of the major challenges going forward for us is to increase the number of seniors who are willing to take up SNAP. And Seth mentioned about, you know, the perception of $16 to $35, you know, not making the cost-benefit analysis. But in 2009, the average senior on the SNAP program got about $100 a month. And so that's actually real money and money that could be used to assist these seniors. And so part of it is just outreach, getting the word out that there is this really important program, the SNAP program, that's out there for these seniors to utilize. And so I would call that kind of one of the first lines of defenses for us to utilize going forward.
Dave from Twin City, Georgia. Dave, welcome to the show.
Good morning. I just want to make a harsh comment on the fact that I believe the system is upside down. You've got people that are drawing food stamps and welfare and hiding under the fact that having multiple kids, and my wife works at a convenience store or a grocery store where I see, and she tells me that people are going in and using food stamps to buy such things as candy, junk food. You know, this system is all upside down. There's people on it that shouldn't be on it, and there again, you've got senior citizens that are being deprived of food. And you got people that are actually abusing it, and government has no checks and balances to make sure that the system is being done in a legal way. You got people that are selling food stamps, using food stamps for, like for example, a lady bought candy at the store where my wife works.
No, I take your point. Dave is being driven crazy by the fact that people who don't need help or getting it, and people who desperately need help or not getting it. Let's take Greg from Holliston, Massachusetts. Greg, hello.
Hi, Wade. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I just wanted to touch really quickly on the fact that now me as a young person, I'm 25 years old. I'm a registered nurse, and what I see going on is that I believe there needs to be more focus, as what was touched on earlier, as primary prevention. Using nutrition. I mean, we disregard the fact, as you know, young people, that we are going to get old and we are going to age. And one of the first things we ask in this country is, you know, hi, I'm so and so. What do you do? What's your purpose? So as we get older, it seems like that seems to get forgotten. But I truly believe that if nutrition can be counseled on before there's a problem, but in primary prevention, it will ultimately lead to a savings in other avenues, even in healthcare. Now, we mentioned earlier that we have an obese patient. They have a heart condition, let's say congestive heart failure. They need to be on a low-sodium diet. They can't afford fresh vegetables. All of the canned foods they can afford contain nothing but sodium. So now we've canceled out all of the medical work to be done to prevent the congestive heart failure. All the medicine where the money was spent, that becomes irrelevant because somebody wasn't taught in the early stages how to take care of their body and how to use these, avoid certain foods and use certain foods to ultimately benefit them in the later years. I just think it's something that really needs to be emphasized when people are my age in their 30s and even 40s now, because what scares me is that we've seen in this country that eventually age 85 and up, that's the fastest growing population. My generation, there is a better chance that I'm going to get there and my friends are going to get there, and we need to be adequately prepared.
Great. Thank you so much. Enid, Greg had a lot to say there. Primary care, nutrition. What do we do when we have people who are ill and need to get off the salt and all they can afford is lots of salt?
Well, first I say amen to Greg. He hit the nail right on the head. We have got to look at one of the things we haven't done is we haven't looked at this whole issue as a healthcare issue. It is a huge healthcare issue. We are inundating people with sugar and salt, all the things that actually fill the belly, but are not really good for the health care of that person. There's no question about it. We've got to start earlier. We've got to start talking about nutrition. We've got to get people to eat correctly. We've got to get this whole notion of senior hunger as part of the health care discussion. Oftentimes when we talk about health care in this country with respect to seniors, we're talking about prescription drugs. We're talking about Medicare and those kinds of issues. We need to put the word nutrition into the conversation about health care. If we are going to be healthy, and if we're going to save money in the long run, we have got to look at nutrition as a viable option for health care maintenance. You know, there's a fascinating statistic, and that is that by the year 2045, there will be more old people in the world than young people for the first time in the world's history. We are an aging population, not just here in America, but throughout the entire world. We have got to start looking at the notion that nutrition is paramount when we are looking at a healthcare system throughout the world that is in jeopardy. So I say amen to Greg. We need more nurses like that.
Bruce from Williamsburg, Virginia. Bruce, welcome to the show.
Well, hello. Thank you for taking the call. Obama is soliciting the elderly vote. Romney is soliciting the elderly vote. Once the election campaign is over, the needs of the elderly are going to vanish as they always do. A novel and innovative but rather simple idea, if somebody were to get out there and get on point and orchestrate a structured write-in campaign on behalf of the elderly and could take 20 or 25% of the presidential election, I think it might get somebody's attention.
James, Bruce would like to organize the elderly politically as a political force. What do you think of that idea?
Well, I think they already are in many ways through AARP, which is a major political force targeted to issues confronting seniors. And AARP Foundation has taken on senior hunger along with the Meals on Wheels Foundation and others. And so there is some organizing that's taken place. And but I think, you know, the issue is as Enid has highlighted earlier, this is really an American issue, one that cuts across age. And so I don't think we want to pit old against young or young against old, but this is really a serious issue confronting our nation collectively across all ages, across all demographic groups of race and ethnicity. And it's not, I don't think, really a lobbying effort on one at the expense of the other, but a collective effort, as Enid was mentioning earlier, on how we galvanize our country towards more nutritive, more adequate retirement planning, and better provision of social services.
Anne from Cornish, New Hampshire. Anne, hello.
Hi, Wade. Thanks for taking my call. My husband and I are fine right this moment. We're 60 and 63, living as volunteers, as work campers. But I have an elderly mother who's on welfare in a nursing home. She gets fed. Our problem is we have no health care. We try to eat nutritionally. We can because we work in trade 8 months out of the year for our rent. But we're a little worried about what can happen if we have any health care problems, if we have any vehicle problems. There really aren't any services for us. When you can afford a little bit, you're not eligible for any food stamps. I've experienced that in my young life. I do think we need to focus on nutrition as a health care benefit.
All right. Thank you, Anne. Carol from Marshfield, Massachusetts. Carol, hello.
Hi. I'll take a quick point. My point is, where are the families? The family should be the first line that we go to. And having gone through this with my mother and my mother-in-law, you do whatever you have to do to make sure they have food on the table and a roof over their head. And I listened to that lady who called in earlier about all that she had to do for her mom who was out of state. But, you know, when you reach 70, 80 years old, you've got maybe children, grandchildren, grandnieces. Very few people, I think, are totally on their own, and the family should be taken care.
Enid, I know that families are scattered all over the country. Let's talk a little about where are the families?
Well, we have found at Meals on Wheels, we found that many of the phone calls that we got was, my mother is in Florida and I'm here in Indiana. Can somebody help? One of the beauties of our country is that we do have this option to move and to travel, to go to places and retire in other places that where we did not work. And so we are scattered. We're a society that, because we have the freedom to do that, we can live in wherever we want. I think that families do take care of families. I wouldn't say that we neglect. I would say, however, that the beauty, too, of this country is neighbor does help neighbor. It's a fabulous country doing fabulous things. But right now, everybody seems to be strapped. And so oftentimes you have families that actually can't provide for other family members. And so we need to be that social safety net. We, the family first, you're exactly right. First individual, then family. And if not, what's the last resort? Who do we turn to when we need that help? And that's what we're trying to explore. That's what we're trying to figure out. What do we do? Not to give a handout, but to give a helping hand. And I think that programs like Meals on Wheels are there. They are great programs. There are 5,000 local Meals on Wheels programs throughout the United States serving in excess of 1 million meals a day. The problem with that is 1 million meals a day is not sufficient. Our estimates are that we need at least 2 million meals a day more to meet the growing need. So what do? That's what we are trying to figure out. The National Foundation to End Senior Hunger, that's one of the things that we're going to look at. What do we do? How do we end the travesty that is senior hunger?
Enid Borden, thanks for joining us. She's the incoming president of the National Foundation to End Senior Hunger. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
James Ziliak, thanks to you too. He is the founding director of the Center for Poverty Research at the University of Kentucky.
Thank you, Wade.
And Seth Hancock, his new film, Leftovers, explores the topic of senior hunger in America.
Thanks, Wade. People want to check out more, leftoversmovie.com.
Thank you so much. You can continue the conversation and get the On Point podcast at our website, onpointradio.org. I'm Wade Goodwin, in for Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point.